Nation of Real Racing USA. It's time to go drag racing! 200 plus miles per hour!
It is time again for Straight Line with Stevie. This is
Straight Line with Stevie for Wednesday night. This is March 26th, and without further ado, Stevie, what do we got hooked up on Straight Line with Stevie tonight?
Hey, guys, I just want you to know I have got the man in Top Fuel Harley. I have Doug Vansell on the line right now. And, Doug, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing real good. Just staying busy trying to get ready for the next race here.
Well, you know, first off, I want to get started. As a lot of people may not know that, you're looking for sponsorship right now. And you're setting up a whole new rig. And, just kind of give me an idea of what is it like whenever it is time to set up for a new rig, and you're going into 2008 really without a major sponsor, and what kind of trials and tributes and what deals are you running into trying to get this thing going? I know it takes a lot of money.
Well, I mean, we still have a sponsor. We have Vance and Hines as a sponsor. We were just looking for another sponsor with them because we just lost Drag Specialties after, what was it, I think 9 years.
Yeah. I know they've been with you for a long time.
Yeah, they have. They just cut back. Everyone's cutting back around the country, and we just got to be part of it, you know?
But it kind of shocked me in a way, because here you are with a world championship, and I've seen this happen before. Guys get out there, and they reach the world championship level, and all of a sudden, they're hunting sponsors. And it's kind of a crazy world out there. I don't quite understand the sponsor's mentality probably any of the riders out there. Your team in particular has always been very first class, and I just quite don't understand it. But if the money's not there, it's not there, and I guess you just kind of go on. So we'll leave that, and we'll roll into Gainesville. Now, Gainesville, here you're coming in. You were number one qualifier.
Uh-huh.
Blistered that track, 630, one with a 4 mile per hour, only a 198. I thought, he's got some more in the bag on this baby. And then, out first round, what happened?
It was just, we warmed the bike up like 2 hours before we ran. And the bike, when we started on the stand, I rushed up there too fast. The bike was just cold. It didn't have enough cylinder temperature.
Really? Oh, man.
So it got a big old shot of nitro. It's fuel injected.
Yeah.
Got a big old shot of nitro, and it just put the fire out.
No kidding.
Yeah, that happens. We're not running at MSD ignition. I guess those guys have a lot less trouble with that, but I've still seen them put the cylinders out once in a while.
Curiosity, how much spark does it take to light this thing? How much spark do you run through your ignition system?
Well, we run the Dyna 4000, and I'm not sure, like, candle power or what it is, but like the Top Fuel cars, I think they're 40 amp, and ours is maybe 10 amp, the ignition we run.
Are you controlled by the AHDRA as to how much you are allowed to use?
As far as percentage?
No, as far as, like, I know it's a 44 amp mag in Top Fuel, as far as like IHRA or NHRA, and they run dual mags.
Yeah.
So they have a huge, huge amount of spark. Now, you're at 10.
Yeah,
is
we're
that
not.
The most you're legally allowed to run?
You can run whatever you want. I think right now MSD, it's not a magneto system, but it's like a dual spark system, and it's the hottest thing going. I'm not sure what it is, but the big downfall with it is it's 38 pounds of stuff and 4 ignition boxes you have to mount on a motorcycle.
Holy cow. 4 boxes. That's a lot. Especially 38 pounds, that's a lot.
Yeah, DJ just put it on talks this year, and I think a couple other guys did too, but I was kind of holding out because we've run good without it.
Oh, yeah, that was quite evident. Like I said, that 631 pass at Gainesville. How was the air at Gainesville? Was it really good?
We've been in better air, but it was not bad. Like Rockingham's had better air, but that was pretty good air for Gainesville.
Were you disappointed? Well, I'm sure you were disappointed, but apparently you've already found, you know, what your problem is. You know what it is, so you're not searching as to why it happened. But you actually had almost as much mile per hour, so apparently this thing just didn't leave the line. Is that what happened on it?
Yeah, I hit the throttle three times, and on the third time, the bike finally lit on both cylinders, and that's when it took off. But until then, you know, it killed my ET because it wasn't going anywhere for a couple seconds.
Wow, well, what a shame.
Yeah.
Curiosity now, when we talk about, do you time your run time as far as, you know, getting the cylinder temperature up and thing? I know in my experience with funny cars and fuel dragsters, I always timed how long I ran the motor, and then it would, of course, check the cylinder temperature and everything, but I knew how many seconds I had. Do you do anything like that when it comes to the bikes?
Well, usually when it's cold, we'll sit it and let it run there on the stand, letting the rear tire spin so the clutch doesn't get hot.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had a, I guess it's a senior moment. I went up there, the guy was racing, he started his, took it off the stand, and went to the water box, and I should have just waited a minute because I usually let mine run on the stand.
Is that right?
And
that tells me something to watch now, too, when you guys come up there. I'm still learning about the Nitro Harleys. I've watched a lot of them run, but I'm learning different little secrets as far as why riders do what they do, and you just told me a bunch already this evening I've learned. So I'd be curious now. I'll start watching the guys when they come up, how long they let them idle and so on, knowing they're getting cylinder temperature up.
Yeah, usually when the temperature, you know, it was just such a long time from when we started it to when we ran. Usually we warm it up before we make a pass, and it hold some heat, but it was ice cold.
Well, curiosity, we're going out to Arizona, to the Arizona Bike Week Nationals, presented by Arrowhead Harley-Davidson and Chandler Harley-Davidson. Now, we usually race out in Phoenix, but now we're going to go to a track on the other side of Phoenix, over at Whitman, Arizona. Do you know anything about this track? Have you ever run in it before, or is this going to be a brand-new experience?
We tested there a couple of years ago, and I think we actually had an aged Erie race back in 2000 there. And
so you do have just a little background on it, then?
Yeah, some. And it's kind of funny, because us guys from out of town, we like Firebird, but all the locals, I have an uncle and some family that live in Phoenix, and all the local people prefer this other track over Firebird.
Really?
Yeah, they say it has a better traction.
Well, that's interesting. I know the man's got the concrete, and I know he's put up the new concrete walls, and he's done a lot of updating. And to my understanding, from what pictures I've been able to see, it looks like a pretty nice facility. We're going to go into a totally different situation for air, though. I would say probably we're going to see, 3,000-4,000 foot corrected out there?
Yeah, it could be higher than that even.
Really?
Yeah.
I know you just throw more nitro to it, but even so, how does that affect the bike as far as, like, top end? Is there a difference in handling and stuff? The air changes that much?
Oh, we don't really depend that much on this, you know, the downforce for traction. So as far as the air being thin, it won't hurt our handling, but it'll definitely hurt our performance.
So there will be somewhat of a struggle then to generate enough power to run. So am I going to see 630s out of you out there? Is that possible?
Boy, that's going to be squishing it. I don't know. I think maybe 40s might be a number, which is going to be hard to get out there.
Well, you know, I wanted to ask your curiosity. The race at Gainesville, everybody in Top Fuel seemed to have their senior moment, you might say, where a lot of the guys who I call hitters, such as yourself, were struggling. When you look at the numbers, it just kind of blew my mind. We saw a lot of seven-second passes, and that's just totally out of characteristic for this class. Have you talked to any of the other riders as to what kind of problems they encountered?
Not really, but one thing you've got to remember is this was the first race of the year, You know, so a lot of bikes just got assembled. A lot of stuff probably wasn't quite right. You know, a lot of people, first time they're riding it, first time of the year, you know. So a lot of that has, it all plays in there.
So, unfortunately, you're not on top of the points to start out this year, but it is just one race of quite a few we're going to run this season. So it's time for Doug Mansell to step up to the plate now as the corrected air goes way up. Reach back in there and find that ET. And so what are your prospects for going out in Arizona? Do you feel pretty good about it?
Yeah, well, we've got as good a chance as anybody. And we can run pretty good in Phoenix. So I'm anxious. I'm ready to go.
You know, it's not that far away. In fact, the Harley trailers and stuff are already on the road. And I'm leaving tomorrow myself. But you're a lot closer. You're out there in New Mexico.
Yeah.
Now, how long a ride is that for you?
It's 7 hours.
7 hours? How about fuel costs? Are they getting pretty tough?
I can't remember what it was. I know it's right around $4 a gallon, $3.80, $3.90 a gallon, I think.
Yeah, so it's going to be right at that $4 a gallon mark, which is about the same, I guess, here on the East Coast as well.
Uh-huh.
So what do you think your new rig is going to be as far as mileage? Is it going to be more affordable to go down the highway now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're going to a 28-foot Featherlight and a Dodge Cummins truck. So I'm downsizing from the semi.
Okay.
There's just not enough, you know, money in it to run that semi up and down for these races.
Oh, yeah. It makes good sense, to be honest with you, to drop back to a smaller trailer and a dually like that to run down the road. That cuts your cost, I would say, considerably out there on the road.
Yeah, it's going to make it to where we can concentrate more on the bike than, you know, the big show, the big tent, the big this. We're going to concentrate on making that bike faster.
Well, when you say that, I'm really interested to follow you, as I will follow you guys through all the races this year. And now, one thing, I've talked about you a bunch tonight. I want to talk about Julie just a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Tell me just what this girl does on your team.
Well, she's my wife. She does the fuel, the plugs, the oil, you name it, she does it. Helps me with the clutch, does tires. She's the other crew member, you know. It's her and I this year, and you know, we've raced that way for a long time, and I think we'll do good.
I think I need to have her on the show one night. I believe she could tell me a whole lot more about the motor maybe than you, huh?
Yeah, there you go.
But I'll tell you what, I think you're a neat team. Because, and I'll be honest with you, you're a perfect team from what I've seen. You guys have the look, you generate the power, and you definitely put on the show. And I think it's going to be an awesome show when you come out there to Arizona. I am really pumped up and excited about going out there. New track for me, never been there before. Listening to you talk, apparently the locals like it. That says a lot for it, because those are the guys that do the weekly battles, and they go out there and they're comfortable on it. We should do really well at it then. I do want to thank you for coming on tonight, and I really appreciate you taking the time, because I know you've been out there thrashing in that trailer. We talked the other night and you were out there as well. So you got the trailer all set up, the bike loaded, ready to go?
The bike's in there, but not all the other stuff. You know how it is, each piece you got to do stuff too, so I'm getting everything ready.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, I do want to thank you for coming on, Doug, and take care on loading that baby up, and I'll see you at Arizona Bike Week Nationals.
Okay, thanks a lot, Steve.
All right, talk to you later, guy.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, there you go, Jack. I'll tell you what, he already knows what he did wrong at the last race, and it's going to be really interesting, because this young man always goes to the top of the pack. Won the world championship last year. And looked like he was on another run down there in Gainesville, because he flashed up a 6:31 with a 4 at only 198 mile an hour, which is about almost 20 mile an hour off what he's capable of cranking. So he's going to be something else when he gets out there on this next race.
So you're heading out west?
Yep, we're headed out to Arizona Bike Week Nationals, all the way out in Phoenix, Arizona. Actually, a little town right next to it. And called Whitman, Arizona, probably about 20 miles from Phoenix. Now the first time that that I've been to this racetrack.
Now, your next guest tonight, Stevie, Rick Moore, is he an all-Harley drag racer as well?
Absolutely not. Now, Rick, there's a lot of story behind Rick. This guy, he doesn't race one class, doesn't race two, he races three. And he was really, really strong at the Gainesville Florida race. I want to talk about his previous season, I want to talk about where he's at this season, and I heard a rumor that he may not be able to make it to Arizona. This is a guy that is number one in Pro Gas. He is number two in the points in Pro Fuel. He is number three in the points in Pro Drag. Now, can you imagine starting off being number one, two, and three in the three classes you compete in?
Holy cow.
The chance you may not be able to go.
And now, this is his first visit to Real Racing USA Straight Line with Stevie Show. Is it? Or not.
I want to say we had Rick on last year. It was probably about mid-year, but we had Rick on. He is an instructor, a teacher on motorcycles.
Oh, okay.
So
let's take a break, Stevie, and we'll come back with Rick Moore. Huh?
Absolutely. I think he'll be a great, great interview.
We'll be right back.
CarNag.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNag.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNag.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarNag gets it done.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the Brakeman. The Brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the Brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman. On the web at thebrakeman.com.
Hey, welcome back to this edition of Straight Lining with Stevie, and let's turn things back over to Stevie.
Well, thanks, Jack. On the phone right now, I have Rick Moore. He is the 2007 champion in Pro Drag, but he doesn't just compete in Pro Drag. He's also an extremely tough competitor in Pro Gas and in Pro Fuel. And Rick, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Rick, I just wanted to say that, you know, it was a pleasure watching you race in 2007, and you did a super job, absolutely stellar, in the Pro Drag class. Plus, you finished, I believe, fourth in the Pro Gas class, and Pro Fuel wasn't quite there, finished 16th. But for 2008, you sure were shining bright at Gainesville. Tell me just what all happened in your three classes you competed in down there in Gainesville.
Well, for one, it takes a lot of team coordination. I race for two different teams, two bikes for one team and another bike for another team, and it's a lot of coordination to trying to get me back in time for the next class that we're not holding up the show. We started out Friday night on the Pro Gas bike. We were the number one qualifier going into Saturday, and as of Saturday evening, we got knocked down to number three. We did hold the number one qualifying position on the Pro Dragster with a 735, I believe it was. And on the Pro Fuel bike, I think out of 12 or 13 motorcycles that showed up, we qualified dead last at number eight. But it's a new bike. It's a new bike to me. And it's first time, you know, basically out on this thing. We did not have any time to test. And we were just really happy to make the show with a 716.
Yeah, but in that same respect, now, here's a bike that qualified number eight, but I'll be doggone, that was Rick Moore I saw in the finals in Pro Fuel. Tell me what happened on your runs going down the track as you continued to knock them off one by one.
Well, and anybody will tell you, in Nitro Harley drag racing, you know, as long as you can qualify and you can play on Sunday, anybody can win. And we just needed to get in the show and do what we knew how to do. And Mike Bonmeyer tuning the bikes, giving me the power, just me learning to get it from point A to point B. And we struggled, or I can say I struggled, trying to get the bike down the track and keep it off the wall. But we were able to, first round, take out the number one qualifier, and we crossed the finish line first. We had issues, but he had more issues than what we had. Second round, we were taking on the number two plate holder, Douglas Horn, and they had some issues, and we got to the finish line first, and that put us in the final, where we met up against Rick Cassis, and I ran my very first 6-second pass at a 698 at 190 miles an hour, and we lost, but you know, all in all, we were very pleased with the results that we accomplished over the weekend.
Well, yeah, I do remember. I was watching as you would go. You had three bikes at the semi level, still in, and I could watch down the track, and I'd see you coming back down, jump on another bike, come back down, jump on another bike, and you were really working hard. Now you got to the runner up in Pro Fuel, and then Pro Drag, which you're. Ended up at number three in the points. You lost in the semis to Willie Hershberger, but you were number one qualifier now.
Correct.
So your Pro Drag bike is on its game.
Yeah, we're real pleased. Mike Baumeyer made some changes to the bike over the wintertime, and we came out with a whole new motor combination that Terry Stewart and Snake from CP Pistons collaborated with, and we got another engine program going on, and we're real pleased to come out to be the number one qualifier with a brand new setup that really was untested. And then on that run I was running against Willie Hershberger, it actually unloaded the tire, smoked the tire right around the 1,000-foot mark, and it out in the cylinder. So we dropped a hole and went through. We lost with a 747 to a winning 745. But at the eighth mile, we were 400th off the national record. So we know we're making the horsepower, and to spin the tire that far down track, it was motoring pretty good.
Well, you know, in 2007, that bike became a national record-holding bike where you set the national record at a 713 in the quarter mile. And I believe you even blistered the eighth mile at 158-plus mile per hour. So that was a pretty stout motor you had for 2007, and you feel this new engine program you have is even superior to that one?
We're not sure. I mean, time will tell. We can always go back to the other engine if need to be, but I feel that we've got a lot of positive results out of it. I'm real excited about being able to run it again this year and see what we can do with it. But when they put the weight limit on us, the 5.4 pounds per cubic inch, we had to add 74 pounds to race last year. So what we did this year is we took off the weight. And with our new motor combination, we are able to run a little with a little less size motor with a little less weight. And so far, it seems to be like it's working pretty good.
Well, that it's going to be really a lot of fun to watch you in the Pro Drag class, knowing this new engine program could reset the record. So that's going to be very interesting. So Pro Gas now. You won that race. You qualified number three, which means it was just, again, that bike was just on its game all weekend long. Tell me about that one now.
Well, I raced for Bob and Ed Banky, Banky Racing, out of Baltimore, Maryland. And the bike, that bike is very consistent, and it goes rounds. And that's what it took that weekend to win the race. There's some other bikes there that are capable of laying down much better numbers than what our bike can do, but sometimes that causes them to break or overpower the track or what have you. So, you know, the idea is you got to go rounds to win races. You got to win races to win championships. And in Gainesville, we were able to go rounds. And in the final, we met Dale Rodenbusch. He turned on the red bulb, and we were in victory lane at that point.
Wow, so absolutely great way to start off the season as you finished number one in the points in Pro Gas, number two in the points in Pro Fuel, number three in the points in Pro Drag. I mean, you can't do much more than that. That Florida had to be just a great, great feeling. Now it's time to go to Arizona. I heard through the rumor mill there was a possibility that you may not even be able to go. Tell me, is that true, or will you make it?
Now, late last night, we confirmed up that I will be going. I will be there, but I will only be competing in one class, and that would be the Pro Dragster class.
Wow. So the class that you actually won the race in, Pro Gas, will not go to Arizona.
Yeah, the team that I run for just does not have the financial backing to be able to make that trip, unfortunately. I was early a few weeks ago possibly even looking to try to pick up another Pro Gas ride just to kind of keep me in the points. If somebody had a bike that they were maybe was new, wanted to test on it or something. But at this point, as far as I know, I will not be competing in the Pro Gas or the Pro Fuel class.
The Pro Drag, which you are the current champion, you know, number three in the points, you're going to be out there and you'll be naturally, you know, laying them down. Curiosity, though, how will this affect you? Will missing one race affect you enough to affect the possibility of a championship on the Pro Fuel and the Pro Gas?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. It's, you know, any time that you don't go to a race, you have no chance of earning any points. And unfortunately, it's out of my control what races I go to and which ones I do not. However, you know, on the Pro Gas bike, we're going to run a limited schedule. With the three races being dropped in the West, we will be able to make the East Coast races. And we finished number four in the points last year, and if we can move up and finish number three or number two, you know, we still accomplish something, we still gain something. So we're looking forward to that. On the Pro Dragster, and it's going to be a tough class this year, as it always is. And it's, you know, it's too early in the year to predict that any particular rider is going to win the championship. So we're going to have to go out there and be on our A game, as everyone else will too. And as far as Pro Fuel goes, there's a lot of big hitters in that class. It's a very tough class, and we were very lucky in Gainesville to do as well as we did. And I think we will definitely be players in that class. If we have to throw this race away and go to Woodburn, I guess, you know, the team owner will have to make that decision at that time.
Wow, that's a long haul to Woodburn.
Hey, yeah, it is. I was there one time. So we know it's a trip. And that was the race we were planning on throwing away and just using our 10. But, you know, my bike's not ready, and that's just the way it is. And, you know, we'll make that decision when the time comes to see where we are in the points, if it makes sense making that haul.
Well, it's going to be interesting because, you know, just like I talked about, you know, how is it going to affect you as far as not being able to make all the races. This is probably something that we're going to hear from a lot of the riders this year, to where there's going to be a race that they would like to have gone to, that they needed to go to, but because of the expenses, they won't be able to go to. And so really, no one knows just how many races it's going to take to make it all the way to the end this year. It's one of those things that seem to be like flipping a coin.
Yeah,
it's not any cheaper out there, I know.
No, it's everybody's, you know, it's equal for everybody. Everybody's expenses have dramatically increased with flight prices and with fuel and just parts and nitro. Everything is just going up tremendously. And, you know, we're not the highest financially backed team, you know, out there. And I know some of the teams that had deeper pockets at one time are working on, you know, more strict budgets now than they were even 2-3 years ago. So, you know, it's tough. It's a tough deal for everybody. So it's why it's important when you do go to a race and you're there is to try to capitalize and go as deep on Sunday as you can.
Curiosity, I know that a lot of the teams are what I call piggybacking. They're loading up in one rig and to help cut costs and stuff. Is something like that possible with your teams?
It is possible. The one team that I race for has three riders. They're all located in the East Coast, and you know, they're based out of Kansas, Wichita, Kansas, Midcontinent Motorsports. So it's, you know, depending on which direction we're going, you know, it may be one of them deals where we may leave the bikes on the East Coast between one race to the next to cut down on cost, or we may share expenses with some other teams. Like, you know, there are teams out there that are doing that, and, you know, if it comes down to it, you know, we may have to do that. You know, the problem is Midcontinent Motorsports is hauling four bikes as it is already of their own team.
Yeah.
So, you know, to expect somebody else to haul all those bikes, there's probably not too many people who are capable of hauling that many, and I don't know how many more bikes we could take on ourselves. So, you know, it's just a tough deal.
Well, I know Doug Vanso even made the comment about, you know, no 18-wheeler this year. He's going to a 28-foot box and setting it up to carry everything he needs for his fuel bike. In fact, that it'll probably cut his fuel cost in half.
Oh, absolutely.
Maybe even more.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, that tractor trailer doesn't turn on the wind light. You know, it sure is nice, and if you can have something like that and financially afford it, it's great. But, you know, the bottom line is, you know, your bike's got to be at its best, and if they can save some money on traveling costs and put it into his, you know, bike and develop technology, you know, he'll do just fine.
Well, curiosity now, also, we've heard all these different stories about Nitro and availability. What is the latest you've heard as far as availability on the Nitro situation?
As far as I know, it's available to us, and we're going to have it. I believe Outlaw Fuels is the supplier for HDRA, and that's the fuel that we have been running, and I believe that's what we're planning on continuing to run.
So as long as they can get it, I know that they're going to change the container size to I believe, 43-gallon drums now instead of 55-gallon drums. But that doesn't really affect you, I don't think. As far as nitro consumption, what is your pro fuel in your pro drag bike? What do they consume?
Well, the pro dragster is used in probably about a gallon per run. Between warm-up and the actual pass, about a gallon. The pro fuel is probably running a gallon and a half to maybe 2 gallons. And I think the warm-up and a pass on the top fueler is probably about 3 gallons a pass. So we have two pro dragsters on our team, a pro fuel and a top fuel bike. So we'll chew through 30, 40 gallons.
So a drum of fuel pretty well will keep you going for the weekend then?
Correct.
Is there any problem with you carrying a drum of fuel on board in your trailer, or is it best just to purchase it at the track?
Well, I think just for limited space, it's probably better to get it at the track. I mean, I think we have some room to haul, you know, X amount in 5 gallon containers, but, you know, there again, you're limited to how much you can haul. You can haul, I believe, up to that 40 or 43 gallons, and you're okay. Anything over that, then you start getting into permits. So, no, I believe for what we do, it's going to be okay. You know, it's more the NHRA top fuel cars that they're under the same strict rules that we are, and they burn a lot more than what we do. So, you know, it's more of an inconvenience for them, I believe, than it is for us.
Okay, well, the main thing is, I know Outlaw Pro Fuels, these guys, they do a great job on supplying us with fuel and stuff, and I know that Jim Monago, he really bends over backwards and has spent a lot of money to make sure that he had product always, you know, available for us. He's done a great job on supplying us to great people. So I think looks like we're going to be pretty good then. The only thing I was worried about was the government and their new regulations. I didn't know just for sure if there was anything new out there as far as regulating us. But as far as you're concerned, then we're pretty well clean and green on that.
I believe so. The meeting that we were all at in Gainesville is, you know, no one definitely knows how it's all going to play out yet. You know, I think it's a day-by-day type thing right now. And until it all shakes down, the rules will probably change again before it's really set in stone as far as the amounts and the availability and who can haul it, who can't.
All right. Well, it looks like we'll get to see Rick Moore roll into Arizona Bike Week Nationals with the Pro Drag Bike. So the guys in Pro Gas, the guys in Pro Fuel, you can relax for one race because he won't be there with those bikes. But the guys in Pro Drag, that means Rick Moore now can devote 100% of his time to that bike. On your head, guys, he is the national record holder with a new engine program. Anything could happen when we roll in Arizona. Rick, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
All right, guys, we'll see you in Arizona, hey, in probably just about another 2 days.
Okay, I'll talk to you then.
All right. Good
thank
night.
You. Bye-bye now.
Well,
there you go.
Yeah, buddy.
Was curious as to what was to be said about the Nitro, as I knew that Rick had been to one of those meetings, and apparently we're going to have Nitro. So that secures all of our pro classes that do run the nitromethane. And kind of disappointing, though, that Rick's not going to be over there with all three bikes. Just a great rider.
Yeah. So he's only going to be able to do two out of the three.
No, one.
One.
One bike is all he can get there.
Oh, my.
And it's cost. How sad.
Yeah.
The cost of transportation, et cetera, is affecting a lot of great riders like Rick Moore.
Well, we hear this every week all across the motorsports world. There's no question that the current economy, especially the fuel prices, are they're taking their toll.
Yeah, we have no choice but to deal with it.
That's right. I tell you what, though, Lori Canister's coming up next. Oh, boy.
Lori, she's my girl. I'll tell you what. Yep. This gal can flat drive an alcohol funny car. This gal, coming all the way from Ohio, she's headed to Texas for the first advertised IHRA 8th Mile Nationals down in San Antonio, Texas. And trust me, guys, she will show no mercy. The IHRA world record in alcohol funny car is 380 at 195 mile an hour in the 8th. Look for this gal to blow those numbers right off the map as she prepares to show the boys that ladies always finish first, and she's up next.
Yep, fast cars and fast women. I guess that's just the way it is, Stevie. We'll be right back.
God bless drag racing.
CarNag.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNag.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNag.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarNag gets it done.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. Power Master also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
We're back, and this is Real Racing USA. Stevie Letempt, ready to fire it up here. We're going to talk, I think, alcohol funny cars, huh, Steve?
Oh, absolutely. And I'll tell you what, we have the gal on the other end of the phone who can flat drive them. Let me give you a little background on her. This girl in 2002 and 2007 was the IHRA Alcohol Funny Car Champion at President's Cup Nationals up in Buzz Creek. In 2000, she was IHRA Pro Outlaw World Champion. In 1999, she was the IHRA Pro Rookie of the Year. This girl has been down the quarter mile in 5.66 seconds at over 246 miles per hour. Can she drive? That's an understatement. Lori Canister is the fastest and quickest female in IHRA, NHRA, and anywhere else you want to put her on 1,320 feet. Lori, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Stevie. Boy, you really know how to intro somebody, I'll tell you.
I just call them the way I see it. Listen, there's not one thing I said on there wasn't 100% correct.
Well, we have definitely had a good run of it when we were racing before, and when we did come out again with the Cowbones Grill and Sauce alcohol funny car. And from the looks of it, you know, the information that we got the last two events was really good information, and we're happy about what we've found and noticed that there's probably a lot more in the car than what we even had then. So we're really anxious to get down to San Antonio and see what it'll do.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but the last time out, you were laying on like 570s, just one after another. It didn't matter if it was day, night, what air was. This thing was on a string. It was just so consistent. And
it was definitely awesome. I mean, Dale has been working so hard at this, and, you know, we were actually given 2 weeks to get the car ready to go to Bud's Creek, and just the way he was able to study the stuff that they had on the car and got it ready to go, and we show up at the racetrack, and he just happened to call the right tuning calls, and it just laid down all those 70 passes. It was just unbelievable, and for all of his hard work, you know, I want him to get recognized because he's been in the shadows for a long time, and it would be really cool for us to go out this year and do really well and hopefully get him to have the Crew Chief of the Year award and maybe even win a championship. Who knows, Stevie?
Hey, listen, if you know it was up to me, girl, you'd be in the winner's circle, absolutely. One thing I do want to say, all you said was Dale. You've got to let him know out there, this Dale is a lucky guy that's been married to you. This is Dale Canister. And he is your crew chief, your husband, and
my best
great race turner.
And my best friend. So, and I won't get in a car that he hasn't prepped or looked at for anything, because I can obviously trust him with my life. And it's not, obviously, it's not just him. It's the whole Cowbones Grill and Sauce team, which is Mike Couch is on the team. He is the other crew chief. And my dad is with us again, as he always was before when I raced. We also have Steve McQuillan, who we got from a team that used to race a couple years ago. So he's coming along working on the engine. And Walt Adams is our truck driver and my clutch guy. And obviously Kevin and Wendy Sims, who own the car and the team and everything. And Kevin's parents, Joan and Kenny Sims, and our newest bus driver, Roger. So we've got quite a host of people making this whole thing happen. And I also have to mention to you guys that all the guys at KW1 who turned our trailer around, they've been working their butts off the last month or so. They've given it a whole new look inside and out, and I just want them to hear it from us that we appreciate everything they've done. They've been working so many hours to get that thing done.
Well, you know, one of the neat things, if everybody was listening to just what Lori had said, so much family involved in this. It's families, and that's one of the things that's so unique about IHRA is the fact that it is family drag racing. It's a family sport, family drag racing. The racers are family. The people that come out, it's all family oriented. It's really a neat experience.
It definitely is, and family is a big thing, you know, especially for us. You know, being that my husband and my dad are involved with me, and Kevin and Wendy's parents are involved. Kevin's mother is the cook for us, and she's the one that puts all the grilling sauce on everything she makes for us, and it's undoubtedly the best food we've ever eaten at the track. So if you have a chance, Stevie, and you can come by, you can try some cow bones on some of the food that she's cooking up for us. And I think, actually, that our pits are going to be the talk of the track, and hopefully for more than one reason.
Boy, I was hoping I'd get an invite to try out some of that cow bones.
Oh, definitely. And you know, while she's grilling the stuff in the pits, we're going to be cooking on the track. I can promise you that.
Well, speaking of cooking on the track, now, we know you can go 560s, 570s on the quarter mile for the first time now. This is going to be an 8th mile national event for you. Record stands at 380, 195. What kind of numbers are you capable of turning, or have you turned in the past? I don't know. You may even not know the 8th mile numbers now. But what type of, do you know what your 8th mile numbers were?
Yeah, I do. Actually, a typical 8th mile is a 380 or a little bit better than that. On that 566 pass, I won a 370 at 198. So I think we probably, and not just me either, I think that a lot of the people in the class have a good chance in blasting that record away, because a lot of the cars have been running faster than that 380 anyway. At least they were the two races when I came out, they were. You know, we had the quickest field in history in Funny Car at Rockingham, and which that's when we were number one qualifier with that 566, and I guess it was a 583 that made the
bump
event. Yeah, made the bump and made that the quickest field ever. So the 8th mile numbers, I think you're going to see them in the 370s down in San Antonio, providing the weather's there. You know, if we have decent weather, I think you'll see that. I think you'll see that record fall.
Do you think it's possible that anybody will hit 200 mile per hour?
Actually, yeah, and it has been done. It's been done at the quarter mile races, where you can see everybody's time slip. There have been a couple people. Dale Brand, for one, has gone over 200 miles an hour. I think he went 201. So we're hoping to hit the 200 mile an hour mark. The fastest I've been 8th mile is 198 and some change. So we're hoping that we can get over the 200 mile an hour mark. That would be really cool.
And see, you were joking with me about that I built you up too much, and you just got to tell me that you know that your ride will go below the 380, and you've already passed the 195 mark.
Well, I know, but still. Still, you make it tough. You make it a tough act to follow when you start saying your stuff. So, we're the whole 8th mile thing, though, Steve. I hope we get some feedback from the fans on it, because it is a new thing for IHRA. Even though we ran a couple times last year, but I didn't. But the other teams did at a couple of the other events, and the fans, I think, are going to be the ones that decide how this thing is going to either make or break the race. You know, if they're happy to be there with watching an 8th mile race, they may do more. If the fans end up saying, geez, this is over too fast, and they may not have it again. So who knows what's going to happen. But for
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay.
Lori, last year when I was down in Texas, in San Antonio, and did that race, I was working the stands and talking to the spectators, because, you know, this 8th mile thing came up because we had problems around the 1,000-foot mark with the asphalt, and they had to lay new asphalt down. The Jim Weinert and the IHRA team went out there and tore up, I don't know, probably 300, 400 feet of asphalt and relayed it. And after they got the asphalt down, it was green asphalt. And even Jim said, we're not going to be able to hook these fast cars up on this new asphalt. It'll be great for shutdown, but it won't be for acceleration. So in the interest of safety, we told the fans and explained to them the whole situation that this was going to be eighth-mile racing. Now, the stands down there only go about 450 feet down.
Right.
And when I was up there talking with the fans, the one guy sitting down at the very end of the stands, he says, you know what? He says, this is the first time, he says, I've gone to a racetrack, he says, and I've got to see the finish. He says, normally I read the scoreboards, and that's it. He says, but here, I'm sitting right here. He says, it's not but about 150, 200 feet from me is the finish line. He says, and I can actually see who wins the race. I just don't have to read the scoreboard. So the fans were actually getting, I think, more of a close-up show, and which will get them more involved in it. So I think this is going to be a neat deal. And I do know that just like your alcohol funny car, wow, we're going to see some blistering numbers. And it's going to be fast. No doubt about it. You're looking at 3-second passes. And even alcohol funny car, in 660 feet, 200 mile per hour. How could you not love that?
It makes it really tough to step off the throttle, though, that fast. I can tell you that, because we're just getting into third gear right at half track. And, you know, all the hauling begins at that point. And it's going to be hard to step off it and throw the chutes in the middle of the racetrack. So we'll see how it goes.
Well, let me ask you this, though. A lot of guys have told me that their car goes the fastest in the eighth mile when it's set up for quarter mile racing. Will you leave yours alone and run a quarter mile race or a quarter mile race setup and still run the eighth mile?
We certainly could. I'm not going to tell you what we're going to do. We can't do that. But yeah, like I said, we ran that 566 pass and ran the 370, and that was set up for a quarter mile. So that could tell you something.
So there is a possibility that Lori Canister has got a tune-up for the eighth mile then.
We're hoping that we do. I mean, Dale worked pretty hard on the off-season to tweak the engine a little bit and see what more we can get out of it, because it seems to have some more in it. And we'll just see how it works. And we're, you know, building our arsenal of parts to be able to come out and get the job done. So let's hope it all works out well.
Have you raced down at San Antonio before?
Last year I sat in for Trevor Lebsack. He wasn't able to come to that race, and he called me and asked me if I'd drive his car for him and shake it down for the season. So I was there for that eighth-mile deal. I lost in the first round because I lost traction right off the starting line, so I really didn't get to race a whole lot down there, but that was the only time I had been there. So this will actually be my second trip there.
So Dale's got this baby tuned up then. It's ready to go.
It's ready to go. We're waiting for the trailer to get here now, and like I said, we have all the parts assembled, and you know, thanks to Flat Out Gaskets again for being our other sponsor this year and sticking with us and providing us the great sealants that we need to keep this thing together as it was last year when we brought it out. So we're really happy to have them along again.
Well, I understand, in fact, there's no doubt, I know for a fact, that Kathy Fisher is out there doing team relations and media for you. And how's that working out with Kathy?
Oh, it's excellent. She's my best buddy. So we have a lot of fun together. She's easy to deal with. She's doing a great job for us. I mean, she's the one that's putting all of my press releases out. I could never write the way she does. And I think Kevin and Wendy Sims will be really happy with the work she's done and what she's going to be doing the rest of the year. So she'll be probably bugging you some more, Stevie, to get me back on here. So,
no, she could never bug me. I love talking to her. I will say this. We've had Kathy Fisher on here as well on the show.
Right.
Right. And she runs the quick rod, and they have a top dragster in her team as well. So this gal is no stranger to the world of racing now. She definitely has her act together.
She's an excellent rod driver, too. You better watch out when you pull up next to her.
Now, will Kathy have her rig down there as well?
No, but she's coming down with us. She's going to be there with us, being the PR agent that she is, and she's going to hang out in our pits and get to know some of the team members a little better and just check it out with us.
Stevie, that's a team
racing, though.
Stevie, that's a team that can't be beat right there.
I'm telling you.
Kathy and I, no, don't mess with us.
That's too much there.
The things I said about her, they're all true. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind. I know I can check for sometimes, oh, Stevie, you're exaggerating. I'm not. I'm telling every number I quoted are facts, and everything I said about it are facts. This girl, Lori Canister, is just simply one of the best. And I saw them last year when they started to come back. They got their new sponsor, and this is a team that had been away for a good while from going down the drag strip, rolled their funny car out, got up to, Buds Creek?
Yeah.
Went like 570s, like every pass. And I thought, holy smokes, you know, and this is cold. And it's just a matter of time before they get the tune-up right on this thing where it's going to go even lower. And I do think that they've had enough time that when they get down to Texas, we're going to see some outstanding numbers come out of this young lady. And reaction time on the tree, there's nobody better. She'll get the job done at the tree, and she can flat drive. There's just flat drive. She can be sideways at 150, 175 mile an hour, never lift, and keep right on going.
There's a lot of good people in this class, Stevie. I mean, we're now, you know, and have for the last few years been an eight-car field, and just the top, those top eight cars, I mean, are really, really heavy hitters. And when I was racing before, we used to be called the Gang of Four, but that included Jimmy Rector, who's not in it this time. But, you know, all of those same people plus five or six others that have stepped up so much in the last few years that I think the Alcohol Funny Car class is definitely going to be the ones the fans are going to be on their feet with.
I venture to say there'll probably no more than a tenth of a second difference between first and eighth place on the qualifying stats. I doubt seriously if it'll vary more than a tenth. It should be action-packed. In a tenth of a second, anything can happen.
I think you're right. It's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of good competition, because everybody in the class gets along, and that's the other thing that makes it so much fun. And I think the fans are going to have a great time, as so will we, because we are all going to be out there pushing these cars to the limit, and anything's going to happen, so we'll see.
Well, Lori, I'm looking really forward to coming over for some of that Cowbones Grilling Sauce and to sample some of the cuisine that will be prepared in your pits. And, of course, I will be excited to watch you go down the track. I want to thank you for coming on my show tonight. I really, really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having
me. You are simply the best, girl.
Thanks for having me, and I know the Cowbones Grilling Sauce people are thrilled to be a part of IHRA Alcohol Funny Car, and we'll look for you at the track, Stevie.
Well, I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, come Saturday night, under the lights, Lori Canister, live and in person at San Antonio, Texas. It just don't get any better. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Stevie.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jack, while you're stuck in Florida, I'm going to be sampling the grilling sauce and with two good-looking women, one on each side, and surrounded by race cars.
Oh, boy.
Think about me.
Oh, boy. Heading out Route 66.
It is going to be a wild race. And this eighth-mile thing, I'm excited about it. Coming from the Carolinas, there are tons and tons of eighth-mile tracks up here. And I can truthfully say I've seen, in some cases, even better shows in the eighth mile than in the quarter-mile drag racing.
There you go.
It is all about driver, 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 driver. You've got to have a good car. and you got to have your act together. But money is the major factor once you pass 660 feet. That last half of the quarter mile requires huge dollars. Because if you listen to the young lady tonight, she said they really start, you know, pouring it on once they go into third gear. They go into high gear. Well, at that point, it's just a matter of keeping it straight now, and they go for the ride out the top end. Up to that point, they're shifting gears, and I mean, they are driving full throttle. Their hands are full, and it's going to be really, really interesting to see these guys come in there, not just an alcohol funny car. Remember, there's pro-modified,
sure,
pro stock, and of course, Lord knows, you know, top fuel and funny car. When you get to the nitro funny cars, these guys, there's something missing up there anyway when you get in something 120-inch wheelbase with 8,000 horsepower. And, I mean, you talk about a handful to keep straight. And they will really tune those babies up. Right now, the records stand in the low threes. I would not be surprised in top fuel if we see a 299 pop up on that board.
All right.
Wow.
And so you'll have next week. We'll look forward to Stevie LaTemp. You'll be bringing us news from out west and another lineup of great guests from the world of drag racing.
Oh, I promise you, I'll take you drag racing like you've never been before.
Next week, Straight Line with Stevie, Wednesday night, 8 o'clock Eastern Time. Real Racing USA. See you, Stevie.
Bye-bye.